We made plans, and God laughed. Written by Hear Jess Roar. Read by Rena Jenkins. Fandom, Stranger Things. Story is rated PG-13. Pairing is Chrissy Cunningham, Eddie Munson. Additional tags for implied referenced child abuse, implied referenced domestic violence, emotional hurt comfort, POV Chrissy Cunningham. Chrissy Cunningham needs a hug. Alternate universe, everyone lives, nobody dies. Good parent Wayne Munson. These are some very broken kids, man. Glass glitters on the linoleum floor of Eddie Munson's kitchen, and Chrissy Cunningham is shaking out of her skin. What was once a fairly heavy cup now lays in shards below her dangling feet, Chrissy's knuckles turning white from how hard she's gripping the counter. But she barely feels it, and she waits for the yelling. Because she knows she fucked up, knew it from the second her fingers had fumbled the glass trying to hand it back to him to put in the sink, knew it when it bounced off the counter behind her, and in the moments before it hit the floor and fractured, Chrissy thinks, okay. Okay. It's time he learned that she's a clumsy mess, always making problems for other people to clean up. Her mother has made no secret of how much of a burden Chrissy's screw-ups are on her, and Chrissy supposes it was only a matter of time before Eddie found out how bad she is at being a person. It was nice while it lasted. The light touch to her elbow makes her jolt, and Eddie immediately draws his hand back, palm up and open and empty. Chris. She can feel her chest hitching and hopes to God she doesn't start crying in front of him. The last thing she needs is her mother's accusations of crocodile tears to come crashing through her head. I'm sorry, she says. And she is. Because they'd been having a nice day. Chrissy had curled her hair this morning and wore it down because Eddie has this habit of tucking her hair back for her when they're talking, and when it's curled, it tends to fall into her face more, and Chrissy can admit that she likes the way he does it without even pausing his stories. And she likes Eddie's stories. The ones about his band and his latest campaign, and the ones about where he's going to go now that they've handed him his diploma. She hasn't had the courage yet to ask if he thinks she could tag along with him for his grand adventures, but Chrissy would love to believe the answer would be yes. Because Eddie Munson doesn't talk to her like she's an afterthought. Forgive her for wanting to hold on to that feeling of being seen, of taking up space without consequence, with both hands, before it could wisp through her fingers like so much smoke. And now, perched up on his kitchen counter with jagged chunks of glass on the floor, she's ruined it. It's just a glass, Eddie says, and Chrissy looks up at him. Her fingers hurt from where she's digging them into the formica, and Eddie is looking at her with something unreadable etched into his face. He kind of looks like he's worried she's about to follow the glass to the floor and shatter herself all over his kitchen, too. It's just a glass, he repeats softly, and holds out his own. It's not the same kind as the one Chrissy just dropped, but it breaks just the same when he lets go. She gasps as the sound echoes through the kitchen. You're not hurt, and I'm not hurt, Eddie says. And it's true, she supposes. Eddie has his boots on in the house, and Chrissy is far out of range of the threat of being cut. There's two broken glasses at their feet. And everyone lived. So she swallows and nods her head. Eddie's shoulders relax, and he gives her a small grin, one that almost looks like a shadow of his normal smile. Something has stumbled between them, but Chrissy is unsure of exactly what it is. When he reaches beside the fridge to grab the broom, Chrissy unhooks her fingers from the counter, noting the marks dug into her joints from the sharp edge. Eddie sweeps up the shards, and Chrissy fidgets with the hem of her shirt. The metal dustpan makes the glass shift against itself, and the sound of it is almost pretty when he dumps it into the trash can. The trailer is achingly silent. When that broke, Eddie says, and he says it to the glass at the bottom of the bag. Your face looked just like my mom's. Chrissy's heart sinks past her knees. When she was scared of my dad. Eddie doesn't talk about his parents very often. Everyone in Hawkins knows why. Eddie rolls the handle of the broom between his palms. And, you know, you probably looked a lot like I did one of the first nights I lived here. He huffs, but it's not really any sort of laugh. I broke one of Wayne's ceramic ducks, and I thought that was it. Eddie turns to face her again and runs his fingers through his hair distractedly. Thought I'd be out on my ass with a black eye and a broken wrist. Eddie, Chrissy starts, but she can't really bring herself to say anything more. Eddie nods like he understands and sets the broom against the kitchen cabinet. He crosses his arms, leans against the counter beside her, and Chrissy can't look away, even as he stares past the humming refrigerator. But Wayne didn't lay a hand on me, Eddie says, the corner of his mouth quirking. He said, Eddie, it's just a duck. Can you believe that? Just a duck. I was ready for him to slap me 10 ways from Sunday, and this crotchety old man tells me it didn't matter that I smashed one of the few things he had. He pushes himself onto the counter next to her, and Chrissy finds it inappropriately amusing how much farther his legs dangle than hers. Eddie holds out his hand to her, palm up. Chrissy takes it and laces their fingers together, guitar and cheer calluses catching against each other. His rings dig into her skin, and it grounds her. She's never hit me, she says quietly. Eddie takes a breath. Yeah, well, yelling is like being hit with something invisible, he says. And Chrissy stares down at her feet. Doesn't leave a mark, but fuck, you still feel it, right? She nods, and something roils in her gut. Because it occurs to her that if Eddie knew why she'd reacted the way she did, then he probably thought, I'm not scared of you, Eddie, she murmurs. I promise. Thank fuck, he says. I, on the other hand, am absolutely scared shitless of you, Cunningham. And he says it like it's a joke, like he wasn't worried about it. But Chrissy can see the way his breathing changes. Like something has been lifted out of his ribs. Something that had settled there the moment that glass had slipped through her fingers. Chrissy pouts at him and tries not to laugh. It still feels wrong to find anything funny in this. "I'm not scary, Eddie Munson," she protests.
"I watched you go toe-to-toe with a flock of demon bats, Chris," Eddie says.
And as he says it, he brings their intertwined hands up between them and presses a kiss to her knuckles.
"You're absolutely terrifying."
"I'm not."
"You are,"
Eddie says. And finally, finally, he smiles the correct smile. The one he saves for his friends and for her. The one that made her heart skip a beat the first time she'd been graced with it all those months ago in the woods.
"That's all right. I like scary shit,"
he says,
"being a devil worshiper and all."
Chrissy rolls her eyes and pushes at him with her shoulder.
Eddie acts like she shoved him off the counter, pressing his hand to his heart dramatically as he disentangles their fingers.
And Chrissy can't have that. She can't. She still feels like she's been knocked out of orbit and gone hurtling through the vacuum of space. And if anything can manage to ground her, it's pulling Eddie back in by the fistful of his shirt that she manages to grab and pressing her lips to his.
So she does.
And as she sighs into the kiss, Eddie lets her wrinkle his beloved Ozzy Osbourne shirt in her clenched fingers.
That's as good as a promise to her.
The end.